You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
What's going on, everyone? This is My Aggie Nation podcast. Travis Brown's MyAggieNation.com. Next to me is a vacant seat because Zach Taylor, well, he's not here yet. Hopefully he'll make it here in time. But importantly, it was the guy across the table from me, and that's Michael Barish, the former Texas A&M catcher turned Texas A&M coach. Michael, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. You made it back to Aggieland. You were last here in 2016?
Yeah, 16. Was last 16 year? Was last
and,
year, yep.
And did a little stint in the minor leagues, back coaching now. Just what was your journey like a little bit there from the time that you left A&M until this, where you are here now?
Yeah, it was a crazy journey. Texas A&M obviously is my home, and I'm thankful that I'll be getting my degree from here in May. But, you know, I got drafted in 2016 by the Angels, and unbelievably thankful for the opportunity that they gave me. You know, flew through their system, went to two big league spring trainings, and, you know, was able to spend some time with them. But part of me was always here in Aggieland, and, you know, I made the decision to come back and get my degree and start my coaching career in the summer, and I haven't looked back. It's been an incredible experience, and unbelievably thankful for the players, the administration, and the coaches especially for giving me this chance. So.
Yeah, what went into that decision to kind of come back into coaching? Because I know if looking at your numbers, things were still trending up for you in the minors. And kind of what was those conversations like that brought you back here?
You know, it was a culmination of things. You know, I love baseball. Baseball's in my blood. It's just I eat, sleep, drink, breathe this game. And it's the best game in the world. And a lot of things kind of went into it. Mainly was I wanted to impact people and change people's lives. If you've seen me play, you know that that's kind of what I'm into. I think that this game has so many things that it has to offer on and off the field. But for me, it was getting back and giving back to the game that gave me so much. And I could see what a college coach can do for a young kid. Like when I came in here at Texas A&M, I wasn't the same guy as when I left. So I wanted to do that same thing for every guy that I get the opportunity to coach. So it's been an incredible transition for me.
Yeah, and so how did that conversation go with you and the coaching staff, Coach Childress, to get back here and be able to step right into a coaching gig when you decided that that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, so I called Coach Childress in the middle of the summer. It was probably, beginning of July, and I called him and I said, hey, I'm really thinking about hanging him up, and I want to become a coach. And he said, well, that's totally up to you. That's your decision. You know, I'll always support you. I want you. We want you to be a coach, but you know, you're on the track to be in the big league. So, you know, I want you to go and give that everything you got. So for me, I kept thinking on it, kept sleeping on it, and talked to my family, talked to my agent, and was just saying that this was kind of the best route for me was to go back and start coaching. So just picked up the phone again, called Coach Childress, and we kind of got the ball rolling with getting me back into school and getting me a position here for as an undergraduate assistant. So
there's a lot of stereotypes and a lot of cliches about minor league baseball. What were the best parts? What were the high moments and parts of it? And what were the low parts and the parts that you kind of made you roll your eyes?
The high parts, let's start with the low parts because okay. That could be a little tough. The low parts are the bus trips and the food.
Not quite the same as here, right? Oh, gosh, no.
The bus trips, it's tough because it's not like here in college where you have a weekend series and then you have Monday off, play a Tuesday game, have Wednesday practice, Thursday practice, then another weekend series. In the minor leagues, you play every single day. Like, there's no days off, you know. We play 142 games in 150 days, so there's really no time to relax. But the time, the travel is tough because you'll have a 6-hour bus trip, get done at 7 p.m. I'm sorry, you'll have a 7 o'clock start, get done around 10, you know, mm-hmm. pack the bus and get on the road and then play the next night. So that's tough. And then the food was tough. I mean, you know, you go through rookie ball, you have peanut butter and jellies for pre and post, and you just kind of deal with it. But as you get higher, obviously, the lifestyle gets a ton better. I'd say the high parts is just getting the opportunity to put on a professional uniform. I mean, that's every kid's dream, is to go out and compete and have the chance to play in the big league someday. Luckily for me, I got to play a couple games in the big league spring training, so I got to be in the same clubhouse with all the guys that you see on TV every day, which is an incredible experience, and spend a few weeks with them, which, you know, you learn a ton. But yeah, definitely that, and then the low points.
Yeah,
you kind of remember more.
A lot of PB&Js. Is there was there that kind of aha moment of like, I've reached that point that I've wanted to reach, and I'm content with what I was able to do in pro ball? Is there a specific moment that you can think that, hey, man, this is the life. I got to live it. And was it meeting somebody? Were you kind of starstruck, or was it – what was that kind of, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I'm never really content with what I do. That's just kind of my personality, is I'm always finding a way to do something better and impact and change things around me for the best. But you know, my first big league spring training, and I walk in the clubhouse, I'm actually getting I got my physical done, and I was sitting next to Albert Pujols, and that's a guy where I grew up and watched him hit homers, and, you know, just watch one of the best players to ever live sitting there getting his blood drawn next to me. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm here for a reason, and the Angels see something, and, you know, if they believe in me, then I believe in me. So that was incredible. And then obviously Mike Trout was something that, you know.
He's worth a little bit of money.
You know, it's funny because I saw Harper sign and I go, okay, well, if he signed for that, then there's a chance Trout could completely eclipse him. And, you know, when I saw him, what he signed for, it's pretty incredible. $430 million is quite a bit of money.
Yeah, yeah. So you make it back to College Station. Kind of what is your role here so far, and what have you been doing for the team?
Yeah, so I'm a student assistant coach, which is essentially an undergraduate assistant. So basically I do whatever the coaching staff asks me to do. During batting practice, I'm with the base runners. During the game, I keep a couple charts just so we can keep updated with what we want to look at. Individually with some guys, I'll obviously help with the catchers. Coach Christie does an incredible job with our guys, but I'll be in there with them and give them some input on what I see, what has helped me in the past. And then with the hitters, just make sure that I reinforce the plan as an offense. And luckily it's gone really well the past couple of weeks. But yeah, it's been incredible. The coach staff has given me a lot of opportunity and a lot of freedom to kind of get my voice out there to give them what I see.
Yeah, and I know I've talked about this before, a story I did a couple last week or so, but you're in charge of the relentless hitting chart, mm-hmm. which is something that I think, and you said, came into to play a lot when the offense was sputtering at the beginning of the season. What? Give me just the Reader's Digest version of that and how that's impacted the team this spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the relentless chart is something that we just kind of keep up with and keep going. And, you know, the players don't get to see it because we don't want them to get their big head or have them feel like they're doing something worse than they're actually doing. But for us, it's just it gives us an opportunity to see what they're doing well and when, you know, your batting average may not be as great as what you'd want it to be.
All right. So to do my Joe Buck here, I'm going to welcome into the booth not Troy Aikman, but Zach Taylor, who strolled into Bluebell. We're talking to Michael Barish here, Zach, in case you didn't know. Yeah. And he's told his whole story about coming back, going through the minor leagues, making it here to Aggieland. So what do you have to ask Michael?
Well, obviously you guys playing Texas last night. How often does the home run that you hit a few years back, how often does that come up?
Every opportunity I can get. More so with fans than anybody else. I know the guys here, obviously I'm still close in age with them, so they like to throw some jokes at me asking me if I've ever hit a home run here or anything like that. But yeah, quite a bit. More so on Twitter and social media. But you know, that was an incredible night, and yeah, it was crazy to go back there last night. I've never been there, so luckily, I didn't get anything from the fans, and I don't think they recognized me because I got this beard now. But yeah, it was an incredible experience that night. So,
so new catcher Mikey Hoehner came here. This guy I know you're working closely with working with the catchers. He seems like he's been able just to hit the ground running and really had that connection with the pitching staff and do well. What have you seen in Mikey and what's been able to make him so effective so quickly?
I really think it's his personality. You know, as a catcher, he's done a great job of coming in and just taking over the pitching staff. And he has a huge personality. And honestly, it reminds me a little bit of myself when I was here. Like, he just wants to get to know everybody and take care of them. And he does an incredible job of making sure they get their job done. And I couldn't be more proud of that kid. You know, it's pretty awesome to see.
Now, I know he's suffering from a little bit of an injury right now. He talked to us about it a little bit last night and had to go get investigate some new protections, new athletic protection. Yeah. Is that an injury that you ever suffered in your career? And any advice you can give him going through that?
Unfortunately, yes, I've had that injury, and it's not a fun one, but it's one that comes with putting the gear on. It's just part of it, and you know, when he went down, I knew there was something really wrong, but I'm glad that it only cost him a game, and hopefully he ices up and feels better here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I saw that this past Saturday. I mean, I think he's probably seeing stars and all kinds of other stuff, but yeah, that was rough to watch. That being said, as a coach, and Travis, you may very well have touched on this, but what drove you into coaching?
Being able to change lives. You know, the coaching staff here at Texas A&M changed my life for the best, and like I told Travis, it was when I came into Texas A&M, I wasn't the same guy when I left. I was actually a better person off the field, and that's what you want to be as a college coach, is to prepare these kids for life after baseball, because as a baseball player, you know, truth be told, you only have so many games to play, so many pitches to throw, so many swings to take. Let's make the most of it and then prepare you for life after baseball. And these coaches here have done an incredible job of preparing me to be the best man I can be. And I'm forever indebted to them for what they've done for me. And I want to do that same thing for other kids and change their lives and make sure that they're prepared to be the best husbands, fathers, and members of society that they can be.
Now, I'm trying to think, is there anybody on the current team now that played with you?
No, I'm too old for that.
That's what I was thinking, because I know the other day Brayden called you Coach Bearish, and I was like, that just sounds weird coming.
It's definitely different. I've tried to have them try to call me Coach B, something simple, but it's definitely something I'm trying to get used to, but you know, if they want to call me that, then that's fine by me. So
that just makes us feel old, because I mean, feels like the other day you were playing here, and then now you're a coach. That being said, you know, talking about catchers, how adaptable is the position? Because you look up and down this roster, and Foster was a catcher. Hunter Coleman, I know he's dealing with him injuries. He was a catcher. I mean, it seems like you've got so many guys that at one time were catchers. Now they've kind of moved to different positions, but it seems like it's a position that guys are able to adapt well going other places.
Yeah, it's funny because Coach Childress was a catcher in high school. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, really?
But I always say that everybody can catch in high school. So, I mean, it's part of it. But everybody can catch in high school. But, no, I'm just messing around with that. But, I mean, yeah, you know, it's interesting because we recruit athletes, and you know, it's great to see them be able to go play other positions, because that just gives them some versatility. And catching's a tough position to play. Like, you absolutely have to love catching to go catch. And if you don't absolutely love it, it'll show with your performance. And, you know, the guys that we put back there, you can tell that they love to catch, which is great for me to see, because I don't have to worry about what we got going on, and they can handle the pitching staff. But it's really awesome to see our guys kind of adapt to go play other positions and do whatever it takes to help the team win, is what it comes down to.
Well, I know that catching, college bullpen catching, translates great to City League slow pitch softball shortstop.
I've actually heard that.
That's a really good transition. What's your favorite memory from being an Aggie that when you look back, is there one that sticks out?
A couple. The SEC tournament championship game, beating Florida and Hoover, was an incredible experience. And then Kyle Simons' no hitter is one that's at the top of my list, just because navigating a guy through 9 innings of relentless baseball with, you know, a great team in Vanderbilt, and that was one of my favorite memories I've ever had as an Aggie.
And he's a grad assistant coach here too with you. What's that like, getting to come back and work with him?
It's incredible. You know, we were roommates when we were here, and you know, he's done an incredible job of helping me transition into this position as well. It was funny because when I came back in the summer, he was like, I can't believe you're here with me. Like, I was like, yeah, it's like we're dating, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's awesome to be back with him. Like I said, he's done an incredible job making me feel at home again and making me feel comfortable as a coach. So it's been awesome to have him by my side.
It's a long season, and there's still plenty of ball left to be played, but it seems like this team is so good at rising to the occasion, and it seems like whenever they're facing some of the toughest competition, that's when they play their best. But how do you maintain that through an entire year? I mean, you guys did that whenever you were a ball player here, but how do you keep that throughout the entire season?
You know, it's tough, and you have to renew your commitment every day. And if you don't renew your commitment every day, then your performance is going to show. And thankfully, the past couple weeks, we've really turned the switch, and the guys have done a great job of showing up and playing every day. And that's what it comes down to, is just showing up and competing and making it personal. If you make it personal, then you play better, you play harder, you play for your teammates, and good things happen. You know what I mean? But they've done a great job, and this team has guts, and then they're not scared of the moment. They're going to rise up and do whatever it takes to help the team win. If that's getting a bunt down or making a big pitch to get off the field, they're going to do that. And they've done an incredible job. I can't praise them enough for the job they've done of sticking in the fight through some tough times earlier in the year and finding a way to win. And that's what winners do, is they find a way to win. And really, really proud of this group.
Does this team compare or have any similarities in any of the teams that you were on here? And what do you think kind of the ceiling is for this team?
It's hard to say, because each team is different, and you know, it's hard to say, oh, this team has so much to do here, so much to do with that team. But this team's unique, and you know, the sky's the limit for this team, I think. And we have great pitching staff. Coach Childress has done an incredible job of making sure that they're prepared and making sure that they're eager to go out there and pitch. And Coach Bolt, Coach Seeley, and they've done an incredible job of making sure that the guys are prepared with their offensive approach. And you know, when we're clicking, everyone can see what we can do. And you know, we're very much under the radar to start the year. And you know, we start to open people's eyes with what we've done. And it's a testament to the guys' hard work. They've done an incredible job of going out and practicing hard every day for each other and for us. And when you put on Texas A&M, it's an honor and a privilege. So they've done a great job of doing that.
Former Texas A&M catcher Michael Barish, now Coach B to the guys, as he's known. But, Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Yep,
I really do appreciate it. All right, guys, that's going to
– we're done.
That's going to wrap it up.
I got to go sit at the airport and wait for Buzz.
Okay, Buzz Williams.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the rest of our press conference – or not the press conference, but the rest of our podcast. We'll have a press conference tomorrow.
We'll be back next week and have some Buzz talk. I've already got some hopefully someone lined up. So be back next week, Buzz talk. And – be sure to check us on Spotify. We are now on Spotify, MyAggieNation.com. Look it up.
So there you go. You've been listening to My Aggie Nation podcast.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way. A way to must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't needs a girl, we know that's true. If we want to keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. I wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. I wanna make sure that we'll be all that we can be, all that we can be, all that we can be.